morning, everyone. This Chiddush. I must apologize. Officially, this morning's title was I only honor my father, and I was originally thinking about speaking about Esav. I decided to change that and to speak about the month of Kislev, and hope that's okay. If anyone specifically wanted to hear about Esav, perhaps come over to me afterwards and I'll tell you over quickly the Rashi Prakim. But I know myself, I very much like to hear when the beginning of a month what the month's Avoida is, what we're supposed to be thinking about, you know, what the school of the month is, what the Ha'ara of the month is. So with that in mind, I decided to change and speak about the month of Kislev. I wanted to say over this morning a couple of Shemi Shmuels, put together a couple of Shemi Shmuels from Parshas Chayisara and Parshas Vaschanan. Over there, the Shemi Shmuel is basing himself on a Mishnah in Sefer Yetzirah, which, let me preface, I don't really know much about these types of inyanim, namely Isik and Asaurus, but he very much brings the things down a little bit to our level. And it seems apparent that in Sefer Yetzirah, what the author does is he shows some type of an association between the various letters of the Aleph days with a particular concept and a particular month of the year and a part of the body and so on. And over there he says that the letter Samach has an association with the sign of the zodiac, the Keshes, the bow, and with the concepts of Shena, sleep. And he says it has to do with the month of Kislev, it has to do with the kidneys, and it goes on to show all the various associations that the letter Samach has to do with. We know that the Mefarshim tell us that each month of the year also is connected one of the Shvatim, and the month of Kislev has to do with the Shevet Binyamin. So I'd like to speak primarily about the Kesher, the association between the month of Kislev and this Kesher and the bow, and perhaps touch also on the other ideas which he mentions, that there's also an association between the concept of Shena and Samach and what it has to do with Binyamin, and perhaps also explain the word Kislev. What does the word Kislev mean? So it says the following. Again, some from the Shemi Shmuel, some from others. We find in Chazal already, based on a posik, that the concept of Keshet has what to do with the idea of Tefillah. It says by Yaakov Avinu when he's speaking to Yosef HaTzadik, and he says, I'm giving you Shechem, Achad al Achech, I'm giving you the city of Shechem in addition to your portion, which I took from the Amori B'chari B'kashti, which I got and I acquired from the Amorim with my cheres, with my sword, and with my keshes, with my bow. And the famous Targum Onkel says over there, B'tzloisi u'b'b'usi, different types of tefillah. It wasn't that Yaakov Avinu necessarily went out and fought, but rather he got it through the Kerek of Tefillah, through his davening. Mashiach Chachma says over there, what does it mean that he got it with a cherem, with a keshes, two different types of Tefillah? And he says, and a lot of Mefarshim say this type of idea, he says there's two very distinct forms of Tefillah, two different types of Tefillah. And he says one type of Tefillah is a Tefillah, which is like a cherem, which is like a sword. And he says that represents the Shmona Esrei. The Shmona Esrei is as such. The nature of the tefillah is so special, so secret. It was compiled with Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, with many Nevi'im, and they enciphered within it all different types of Sodas, and Rashi Tevus, and Tzirufim, and exactly what we need, what every single simple Yid needs to daven, the most effective way to go straight up to Shamayim. And he says it's like a cherub, it's like a sword. You don't need to put that much pressure in order to pierce, because the nature of the sword is as such, it's so sharp that the actual shape of the sword will cut, will penetrate. So too, the tefillah of the Shmona Esrei, which the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah will misaken, is so potent that it's able to just pierce, and it's going to have a desired effect in Shamayim. That is the cheret. He says, what's the keshes? What is the bow? And he says, we know the bow doesn't really have any strength in and of itself, and the power that the bow has is to the extent that you pull back. The extent that you pull back, the further you go, the further the arrow will shoot. That is the strength of the keshes. So what type of tefillah is that referring to? It's referring to an individual's private tefillah. A person is aimed with Ne'a Hashem, and they have a personal bakasha. It's not enough to stand there necessarily with a kriyas and just say words to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This person is sick, I need a refuah, I need panasa. It means to the extent that it comes with the kavana, with a regesh from the leiv, with a hisatzmus, a person tries and tries to understand and to focus their tefillah and put all of their regesh into the tefillah. To that extent, commensurate, will the tefillah be able to take an effect? So it says those are the two types of tefillah. This is what Yaakov Avinu was saying. I acquired the city of Shechem, the Chayav Yehuda Kashtir, these two different types of tefillah. So when the Shemesh Mul goes on to explain what does it mean that Kislev has what to do with this concept of the Keshet, he explains the basis of a lot of what he says based on the psukim in Shmuel. In the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, with the story with Hannah that she went up to daven for a child. And the psukim say the talking Hannah achrei achla v'shilev achrei shasei. She got up after she ate and she drank. The Eliakim Yeshiv Al Kisei Al Mezuzas Heichal Hashem. Eliakim was there. The Himar is Nafish with his Baal Hashem Uvachay Sidke, and we know that Chana was very distraught. She was crying, and she dived into her Kadosh Baruch. She made a neder, Kadosh Baruch, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate him to you. And the Pasuk says, "Vahayki Yibisol Yispaal Lufnei Hashem." The Eli Shema is Pia. Eli was watching her. Right, her lips were moving, but we couldn't hear what she was saying. And therefore, Eli thought that she was drunk. So how much longer are you going to drink? Stop drinking. And she answered, I didn't drink anything. I'm a very saddened woman. I didn't drink, and I'm just pouring out my nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Eli gave her the bracha, and Shmuel was born. And the question which the Mepharshim asked, the Gemara already says, from here, from this episode with Chana, from these psukim, we learn out many, many halachas. And the halachas tefillah, and the Gemara brachas goes and enumerates various halachas which we learn out from the mathemath and from the discussion between Eli and Chana. And the Gemara says, why did Eli think that she was a Shikaira? Why? Because her lips weren't moving. Her lips weren't moving. And she answered back, and she said, I'm not drunk. And she said, Lo Yadayni, which the Gemara says, you are not an Adayn over me in this halacha. You think you know exactly what I'm doing. You're not Le'adoni, you are not an Odin over me. In other words, I understand the massive over here better than you do. And everyone says, from here we learn from Chana's behavior that a person is supposed to daven quietly. This is the appropriate manner for a person to daven Shema Esrei quietly. The Mepharshim say, you're in the room, you're allowed to raise your voice a little bit, but even probably a person has to daven Shema Esrei quietly. And the question which he asked Shem Yishmol is, that is a very strange thing. If this is the appropriate manner to daven Shemona Esrei, then how is it possible to say that Eli didn't know that? I mean, surely Eli saw his Rebbe daven and his Rebbe, and this was a Masera from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and probably even before, the appropriate manner with which to daven Shemona Esrei. And to make the question even stronger, we know that Eli was mamish within the Shalshelet HaKabbalah. In the Rambam, he speaks about the 40 generations between Moshe Rabbeinu to Rav Ashi. Eli is right there. He's the link. Shaykh, they say that Eli didn't know the appropriate way with which to daven. Seems very, very strange. So he says the idea is like we're saying, there's two different types of tefillah. There is the personal tefillah, and then there's the tefillah of the Shemona Esrei. There's the standard tefillah which was davened in those days. And when it comes to the personal tefillah, the way, the appropriate manner with which one should daven is with the regesh and with the leiv. Like it says, Kumi Reini Balailo in Sefer Tehillim is filled with the way in the Hesairis and the Hislavis, the way that David HaMelech approached his tefillah, and he did it with a tremendous heart, a tremendous nefesh, and that is the way that a person is supposed to daven the personal tefillahs. He says when it comes to the standard tefillah, or perhaps nowadays the Shemoneh Esrei, which the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah will mesaken for us, he says because of the nature of the tefillah, that it's so powerful, like we said before, and it has a kayach to go all the way up in theory, if the person just enunciates the words, and in deference to the kedusha of the tefillah, to the nature of the tefillah, we said it, that all the shamus, all the sadists, and so on, a person should say that quietly. One of the reasons why you should say it quietly, he explains, is because we know that b'shasa tefillah, very often, there can be a kitrug. You know, the malachim, the ones who are the mashmiyei tefillah, the ones who are the machnisei rachmim, will bring the tefillahs up. Sometimes they will try and be mekatrig, they'll try and prosecute. Like the Sfarim say that if a person davens in his house, Shemoneh Esrei b'yechidus, and he could go to shul very easily, and he says, what's the difference? I can daven in my house, I can daven in shul, it makes no difference, what's the difference? So the malachim say, they come and they mekatrig on this person, they say, look at this person who thinks that, you know, his tchuyas is so great that his tefillah can go up and will be accepted. You know, let's take a look at this individual. And this mana tefillah, when a person davens, that is a zman of kitrug, it's a time when the malachim come to be mekatrig, to prosecute. So he says, therefore, if a person is davening such a potent tefillah, and a tefillah which has all of these sayyidahs, such a kedusha, so then in deference to the tefillah, a person should say it quietly. And that is the appropriate manner that a person should daven the Shemoneh Esrei. What does it say over here in this parasha with the chana and with Eli? It says, V'tokim chana achrei achla b'shilei v'achrei shasei. So after she ate and after she drank, then she went and she davened. It says, well, what time of day was Chana davening? And this is after she'd eaten. Sometime even in the late morning, in the early afternoon, she was coming and she was davening. If so, Eli reasoned, he said, clearly this is not the standard tefillah, this is not the standard Shemoneh Esrei which she's davening. This is the late morning, this is the early afternoon. Clearly the type of tefillah which she is davening now is a personal bakasha. If it's a personal bakasha, the appropriate manner with which one is supposed to daven, personal tefillah, is b'kol rom, is with his slavas, is with a regish. So therefore, Eli thought, this woman must be a shikera. She must not have the capability to differentiate between different types of tefillah. Like for instance, the Gemara says that a shikah, someone who is drunk, cannot be meira hirah, cannot pass in a shayla. Because it says, "L'hayra yisrael havdil." In order to paskin, you need to have the kayach of havdalah. You need to be able to be mavdil between what's awful, what's mutter, chayiv zaka, and so on. You have to be able to differentiate. And Chana clearly doesn't have this capability to differentiate. I mean, it's not the time to daven the Shemoneh Esrei. She's davening a personal tefillah, and she's davening in an inappropriate manner. So it must be that she's had too much to drink. It must be that she is a shikera. So what did she answer to him? She said, no, you're making a mistake. She answered back, and she said, Lo yadeini, you're not my master, you don't really understand exactly what's happening over here, what I'm doing. Isha kishas ruach aneichi. He says, here's the lashon of keshes. Isha kishas ruach aneichi. He said, I'm a very bitter woman, and the type of tefillah which I'm davening is so genuine, is so powerful, it's coming straight from my heart, and it's such a potent tefillah, it's able to go l'mirachik, it's able to go so far, it's going to go straight up to Shemayim. I'm convinced that the type of tefillah that I'm davening now is going to go all the way up to Shemayim, and therefore I want to be very careful about how I daven. I don't want to daven b'kurom, I don't want to daven out loud, I don't want chas v'shalom any potential kitrug. We know that even halach l'maisa, a person sometimes is even allowed to lie if they want to, you know, they want to disguise a pregnancy. She had an agenda. She was coming to be mispower for a child, and she knew that she had this kayach of tefillah, and therefore she wasn't interested in going through the normal channel, the normal mahalchim of how to daven. B'kurom, b'hislavus, b'pirsum, and to chalila b'ma'ira kitrug on herself. But rather she was doing it in a very inconspicuous manner, very quietly, and she said, Ishak Shasruach Anechi, I'm doing it b'bchinas keshes, and I know it's going to go all the way up to Shemayim. And we know the Gemara tells us in the Kayach of Tefillah that Chana had. We know that the Gemara tells us that Shmuel, when he was a young boy, he was Mira, Halacha listening around, but he passed in the Shaila in front of his Rebbe, in front of Eli. And Halacha is if a person is Mira, Halacha listening around, but he's Mechuyiv Misa, a person is Chayiv Misa, Bidei Shamayim. And he told Chana, he said, I'm very sorry, but this is what Shmuel did, and he's Mechuyiv this Einish. And Chana said, absolutely not, and this is my child, and she came to defend him, and so on. And Eli said, don't worry, I'll give you another child, and I'll give you someone who's Shmuel plus, someone who's much greater than Shmuel. And she said, I'm not interested. It's not pshat that I just daven, you know, and I want to have a son, I want to have a daughter. I daven for this, for Shmuel. This is the byproduct of my tefillah. This is the manifestation of my tefillah. And Chana had this incredible, incredible keich of tefillah. Like it says, v'tispalu al Hashem. It doesn't say v'tispalu el Hashem. She daven to Hashem. She daven al Hashem. I mean, it's nowhere. She daven on top of Hashem. Mamish straight up to the Kisei HaKofet. So she told Eli, she said, you don't really understand the nature of my tefillah over here. And that's what she answered back. But other than that, the whole discussion, the whole shakla v'tariya between Chana and Eli was whether or not her tefillah, her private tefillah, could be considered in Anhaga and Din, the way that a person should daven her tefillah, like a Shemana Esrei or not like a Shemana Esrei. She reasoned that her tefillah is going to be so powerful and so strong, it's like a Shemana Esrei, and I want to do it quietly, and I don't want to be Ma'ira Kitchen. Whereas Amy Fulton is just a woman, she's davening a personal tefillah. No, do it the way that a personal tefillah is supposed to be davened. So, I'll upon him, that is the remez of the Keshis. The Keshis in tefillah, that to the extent that a person is able to pull back inside themselves, into their lev, into their nefesh, and be mispowled to that extent, that tefillah will be pearl, that tefillah will take effect. And then the Rambam tells us that in the times of the Yevanim, the Yevanim placed on us a tremendous lachat, a tremendous pressure. And they made all different types of gzeiros. And like we know, they weren't interested in killing us, but they were interested in lavir maldos, and they were interested in shmadding us up and making us like the Yevanim. And we know to a great extent, they were successful. I mean, there was this concept of misyavn, and people became like the Greeks, and people adopted the Greek philosophy, and it was, you know, it was something which a lot of the people in the world were very much drawn to, including Klal Yisrael at the time. And it was done in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't kick us out of our land. We were in Eretz Yisrael at the time, but it was lachet, and they made gzeiros on us, al b'nei seim, al mamonim. And slowly, slowly, Klal Yisrael felt that they were just being pushed under. They were becoming more and more like the Yevanim. What eventually happened was Klal Yisrael, and the Beis Din Shel Chashmonaim, the few who realized what was happening, it was slowly being pushed back, and they were becoming more and more Greek in nature, and they were becoming further and further, they were becoming further from Hashem. Finally, they decided, we have to snap back, we have to go back. And with a tremendous hizgavra, with a tremendous kayach, the tremendous strength, they said, we can't do this anymore. We have got to go and fight for our lives. We have to go with the Mesiras Nefesh, even though we're only Ma'atim, we're only a few. But we can't allow what's happening to us. As they realized that they were being pulled further and further down, and that in and of itself gave them the strength to go and fight with such a tremendous strength. And he says that is the idea of Chodesh Kislev. It's a month which has this kayach, which is mesugal, for a person to realize how far down they've gone, and to bounce back. And they've actually used their nefilah, the fact that they've fallen down, as a springboard, as a medium to propel them forward to go that much further. He says that's also the idea that the Sefer Yetzirah says that the Ois Samach has what to do with Shena. We know that the Gemara tells us in Ashrei, there's no Nun in Ashrei because the word Nun represents Nefilah. And Dabar HaMelech didn't want to incorporate a Nefilah to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, nonetheless, Dabar HaMelech, and when he spoke, when he said, said the pasuk of Samach Seimach Hashem B'chol HaNeifim, there he alluded to the Nun of the Nefilah. In other words, that when a person can be in a massive of Shena, a person cannot realize what is happening, that they just slowly are losing consciousness, they slowly but surely are getting further and further removed from the source, from the Ikkar, from that which is important to themselves, and they start to fall. But even in their slumber, even in their massive of Shena, there is a smicha. There's a samach, there's a smicha which is coming to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is still, he's still being held on by the two strings of the keshes at the end. Even though a person is getting further and further away, nonetheless, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Seimech the Neflim, someone who is falling, who is in the process of falling down. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, nonetheless, is there and is Seimech at that time. We find by Binyamin. Binyamin is referred to as Binyamin HaTzadik. He was a tzadik. And we know that Yosef is also a tzadik. So what is the difference between the tzidkus of Yosef HaTzadik and Binyamin, who was Binyamin HaTzadik also? So the Mefarshim say that Yosef represents the type of tzadik who really never ever fell. He was a tzadik really from day one. We don't find that there were tremendous nefilas by Yosef HaTzadik. He went to Mitzrayim, he was steadfast, he was very strong. He was the one who was in the spata, and Yosef HaTzadik had the koyach because of his tzidkus to bring blessing and bounty and shefa milamalo lamasa. Like it says, who mashpir, he was the one who had the koyach to be mashpir on all of Klal Yisrael. He was the one who was mefaynes us. He was the one who was able to bring the shefa milamalo lamasa. That was the mila of Yosef HaTzadik. Whereas when it comes to Binyamin, he was also a tzadik. But what he did was he was ma'ir us. He aroused us milamata lamala. The Mefarshim tell us based on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Yuma that from the pasuk Chayif Falav Kol Hayom that Binyamin was bitzar. He was upset. Chayif Falav Kol Hayom actually says like a person who's scratching himself and he's mitzar that I want to have the Beis Hamikdash in my chelik. I want to have a chelik in kedusha. I want to be shayach to the Beis Hamikdash. To everything which the Beis Hamikdash has to offer, and because he was so mitzvah, because he had this tremendous cheshek, this tremendous desire to be miskarev al Hashem, and that's because he actually got the chelik of the Beis Hamikdash in his portion. That was the keich of Binyamin. Again, the same type of idea. It's when a person realizes that you know they're not there yet. They're not necessarily close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they want to be miskarev. That is again, that's the Kriyach of Binyamin, a very similar type of idea to Chedesh Kislev. And just finally, the idea of the Kloyos, that apparently the Oysamach also has what to do with the kidneys, with this part of the body, with the Kloyos. He brings from the Eben Ezra, that the Eben Ezra says Kloyos, which is sometimes referred to as Ksalim. Eben Ezra says it's taken from the words of Nichsef Avadam Kol Tanafshi. The Kloyos is the place where a person's desire is found. It's the place where there's the taiva, where there's the cheshit. The rotsin and the desire comes from the kloyot, it comes from the ksalim. And it says, Al Shem Ksalim is the month of Kislev. Kislev is the zman, just to be misakin. It's the zman when a person is in the winter, things are dark, perhaps a little bit meruchat from Hashem, they're distanced from Hashem, and they realize they take that darkness, they take the fact that they're starting to fall, they're starting to be put under lachatz, whether that's from the misyavim, it's from their society, it's from their siva, whatever it is, but they realize that they've fallen. And they start to be ma'ira cheshit, they start to be ma'ira desire, they want to be miskari, they want to come al Hashem, the b'chinas keshis, just like this boat, and they come back, and they use their nefila as the medium to go all the way back up. Just to finish, the interesting, the Maral says that you know we know that there's four different tkufas in the year. There's four seasons in the year. We have tkufas Nisan, and we have tkufas Tammuz, tkufas Tishrei, and we have tkufas Teves. Four different periods of the year. And we know that Chazal tell us that the darkest tkuf of the year is tkufas Teves, which is the tkufa which we're in right now. It's a zman of Choshech, the winter. Everything is very dark. And obviously, it doesn't just mean physically; it also means spiritually. Things are dark. The Maral says that the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which starts in Chafei Kislev, he says that is the first day where the days up until then have been getting darker and darker, and the nights have been longer and longer and longer, until Chafei Kislev. Chafei Kislev, that's when things start to switch. That's the time when we've gone rock bottom, we've gone all the way down, and the aura starts to be misgavish. The time when the light starts to gradually creep back. And finally be miskaber over the darkness. That is the ha'ara, that is the skula of the month of Kislev, and it's a time when if we have different things in our lives where we feel we need to bounce back, we need to have a little bit of a kayach to bounce back and come back. The Bechinas Keshis, this is what, in theory, you know, the month of Kislev has to offer us. Ezra Hashem, we should all be zeicha to a month of Ha'ara.